This is a Beanbag Chair Media production.
Hi guys, and welcome to Anime Noise.
I'm Garrett, I'm a performing musician by trade, graduated with a bachelor's degree in music production, and have been binging anime for almost 2 decades.
And I'm Emily, I'm a classically trained violinist and have been indulging in the animes since I was a wee little human.
This is an anime review podcast, where we help the new viewer decide where they want to start while taking the superfan on a deep dive into the overlooked realm of music and sound effects.
So as Garrett has judged me before, konnichiwa, everybody!
Hello, anime family, and welcome back to yet another episode of
Anime Noise.
Hey, we're getting so good at
that. We're getting really good.
We
really don't practice this while we're away from you guys. We practice on an almost weekly basis, but it's only when we're here.
That's right.
Clearly, since we fuck up all the time.
Yes, and before we really get started, I want to give a big shout out and well wishes to our special guest that was supposed to be here today.
Yeah.
Preston Hargrove unfortunately couldn't make it with some sort of family issues. So we wish you the best, Preston. And hopefully maybe we'll try to go live with you sometime this weekend or
I kinda mentioned
week.
I was like, you know, if you want to talk about anime or music or literally whatever, that would be awesome.
We'll hop onto his clubhouse, My Hero Academia.
Oh yeah. I wonder what they talk about. Do they shit on My Hero Academia?
No, it's the fan club.
Oh, okay.
My Hero Academia fan club.
Okay, good.
But we're just gonna talk about Attack on Titan season 2.
Hell yeah, we're gonna come
sneak it in there.
Destroy your party.
No, it's unfortunate that you couldn't be here, man. But we are going to rock the fuck out for you. So
hell yeah, and we know that you know he wanted to be here for our.
Who doesn't want to be here for Shinzo Osasage?
I know.
It's that fucking season, everybody.
That's right. And I want to say something before we move right on to Attack on Titan.
Bring it on, baby.
We're going to keep this episode real short for you guys, but
I don't want to because there's so much good shit.
There's a lot of good shit, but, you know, it's a short season. It's a short episode. This one's only 12 episodes, so it's not too bad.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
There's lots of good music, so we're going to do our best to
Keep it short.
We'll
come back at you with season 3 with a real long episode.
Oh, yeah. Let's get right into it, Emily.
Wait, no. I have a question.
You didn't say your thing?
Oh. I didn't say my thing.
Oh, okay.
So we collectively came together to give our favorite OP for anime.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, on our story today, kind of let everybody know what my favorite OP.
So what's your favorite OP? You didn't even give me any time to think about this.
Didn't give you any time.
My favorite OP. I mean, I could go the nostalgic route.
No, go with the one that's like...
Kick-ass?
Kick-ass on your mind. Like, I'm jamming out every time. Like, you could totally go for Dragon Ball Z, but don't go for Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. ooh, that's tough. Because we've done a lot. We've covered a lot of really good ones.
We've covered a lot of really good ones. But we may not have gotten to one. Maybe you're really excited. Like me and our homeboy excited about Unravel when we get to Tokyo Ghoul.
I don't know what my favorite is because my favorites change all the time. But I can tell you one that I'm into right now.
Sure.
And that one would be the opening for Black Clover. I think it's...
Right now?
Huh?
I thought you didn't like the one that was for Black Clover right now.
Not the current
one. Oh, okay. Okay.
No, fuck no. That one sucks. It's the one, it has that really cool piano intro and then cuts out immediately and goes to fucking rock and roll.
Is it Black Rover?
I think it's Black Rover.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's Black Rover.
I can dig that one. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Black Rover. It's whatever has that cool piano.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's Black Rover. But I could be totally
wrong. I'm pretty
sure
it's Black Rover too. Yeah. It was the first one that we
heard. Yeah. It was
the first one.
Both of those.
I don't think it's Black Catcher.
No, I don't think so either. But I like Black Catcher as well.
That one's one I've been really into. I just love that breakdown. It's fucking sweet.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Okay, well, I needed to know, and I figured I'd put you on the spot. Like,
but to our audience, you did put me on the spot, you little asshole. But to our audience, like, Seriously, my favorites change every 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, my favorites change, but it's funny because
yours can too. You don't have, you're not obligated to be the person you were 5 minutes ago.
No, absolutely not. That's some wise shit there from a 27-year-old. Yeah,
I mean, I've learned that you can change your mind. You're allowed to change your mind. Fuck people who call you a flip flopper. I mean, as long as you flip one direction, I don't know. Never mind. All I'm saying is you're not obligated to be the person you were 5 minutes ago. You're not obligated to give a fuck at all.
That's true. You don't need to give any fucks. Give zero fucks and just do you.
Being a human on planet Earth is hard. You know what I mean?
All right. Now we'll get into the show, guys. We'll stop giving you
our wisdom. 20,
our 20s wisdom.
Our fucking bullshit.
All right, guys. We are on Attack on Titan Season 2 of Shingeki no Kyojin. This one aired from April to June of 2017. Like I said before, 12 episodes. If you're a manga reader, this covers chapters 35 through 50 of the manga, which is the Clash of the Titans arc.
Sweet. Sounds cool.
Yeah, Clash of the Titans.
I would love to get into manga. It's just so expensive.
I know. There's so many volumes.
I know. They just need to build a manga library. Not any, just strictly manga, you know? Straight up manga library. That'd be cool.
Go to comic book or like the comic book store, Austin Comics.
Do they have a library?
They have a library. I don't know about renting stuff, but I'm pretty sure you could probably go to Austin Public Library.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right, back to it.
Yeah.
The director. The director switched from Tetsuro Araki to Masashi Koizuka. Hopefully I said that correctly. He was an episode director for season one, also a part of making Durarara, Guilty Crown, and Cabinary of the Iron Fortress. That one came up again.
It keeps coming up. I have to watch it because there's so many people involved in some of the most awesome anime. And now I need to watch it because I want to know what they've all come together to accomplish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it, right?
That's it.
We did all the credentials in season one.
That was the only thing that changed, you know, and then we'll get to season four and we'll have a couple of changes there as well.
Well, Emily, I'm going to steal this intro from you.
I know. It's your fucking favorite.
This one is the shit, and I can't wait to show you guys the live version. We did add that to the YouTube playlist.
We sure did.
And I'm only going to show you the clip of, like, all the solos because they're fucking incredible.
And it's pretty great how they do it, too. And, it, you know what? This is something that Revo from Linked Horizon and Hiroyuki Sawano really have in common, is that they really know how to utilize every fucking instrument and really know how to make them shine individually within the same piece.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got that from just the OST. It's just so much. Not only is he an amazing piano player, Sawano.
Yeah.
But he is just like, the whole thing is just dripping in music theory. And yeah, some of the best I've ever heard, you know? It's so good. But anyway, intro. Shinzo wo sisageyo, or in German, Opfert ihre Ehren? I hope.
Sure.
I hope. Or Dedicate Your Hearts, in English. It was released in 2017 on the album Shingeki no Kaiseki, Attack on Miracle. This was the concept album for AOT we briefly touched on in our last episode, but this song doesn't show up anywhere else except this album. Why it didn't even place on Oricon is beyond anybody, I think. How it didn't place when this is one of the biggest animes of all time. And I've heard some bullshit up on Oricon, I'm not going to lie. Some bullshit
that's
pop songs.
That's true. No, you're right. But you know, that's like a chart that the listeners are listening to.
Fucking listeners.
Anime. Fucking listeners. You don't know shit. I'm just kidding. I fucking love the listeners. That's who keeps people in with their job.
That's right. Keep using your ears, you listeners. Anyway, it was nominated for the 2017 Crunchyroll Awards, but didn't win. Another one that didn't win.
I know.
Well, we're about to blow your fucking minds in this podcast because
and you're
it
gonna
should
have
won.
You're gonna wish it was 2017.
Yeah, I don't know who beat it. Do we know?
I can
who beat
look
it
up while we're listening.
Yeah, let's look it up while we're listening. I guess we'll just get it started.
Just go
here.
Ahead and start playing it.
Cool. Here it comes. You got the timpanis right at the gate, fucking marching snares. Strings are sick. Horns are dope. We haven't even touched on the vocals yet. This is the song that gives people feelings of power. Cool, cool vocal or production method that they did on the vocals there. They like panned them side to side. Key change. Squealing guitar, another key change, by the way. Sick. Oh, God. Sorry, that was Funimation's version of closing out that video there. Yeah. God damn it.
Oh, so that's what won.
What do you mean? What's what won?
Okay, so oddly enough, Peace Sign by Kenshi Yonezu, who did the second season of My Hero Academia, which okay. we're about to cover next yeah. week.
Is that next week?
That's next week.
Oh, shit, yeah.
They won that year. But
they won?
But Shinzo...
Oh, what perfect timing.
I know.
That
I know,
could
right?
not have been more perfect timing.
Yeah, and it was up against some anime that I have never heard of before. So I'm not surprised that it was either going to be My Hero Academia or Attack on Titan. But I want to listen to these other songs and see. Yeah, okay. Yeah, fucking love that song.
I fucking am floored by that song. That song's amazing. The song is amazing.
He said floored.
I'm floored. I'm fucking floored. And Emily, you want to bring up the lyrics? Let's get into the lyrics, and then I gotta show. I'm itching to show
that
fucking
live
version.
I know. So we gotta decide if it fits too. So you know.
That's true.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
I mean, I've already decided. So go ahead.
All right. Well, the first line. And I'm going to give you the TV size rather than the completed version. It only fucking makes sense. But the first line is, we wanted to believe that this hell can't get worse, but mankind's worst day always comes out of the blue.
Yeah.
And that's...
That is some wisdom right there.
That's some fucking wisdom. So this is like later. The ones who turn their backs into our days past are enemies that we must exterminate. Just what kind of expressions did they wear as they gazed upon us that day? And then we get to Sasageyo. Devote it, dedicate it, offer up your hearts. Every sacrifice led to this moment. Devote it, dedicate it, offer up your hearts. Carve out with your own hands a path to the future.
Nice. Yeah.
That's it.
I am dedicating my heart to that shit.
I bet you are.
Fuck yeah. I love in the animation how they highlighted all the animals' hearts too. And I remember seeing... this intro, like when it came out, I'm like, holy shit, is there giant fucking chameleon titans?
And you're like, is there dinosaur titans?
Before we knew everything about the titans that we know now in season 4, and I can't believe there's only one episode left. What? We're not talking about that. I'm sorry.
I know. It's coming up to the end of the winter season. It's spring starting to start.
That's true. Well, back to season 2, this animation, I really was hoping that there would be a fucking T-Rex Titan.
I know.
When I saw that bitch come up on the screen.
But it's not.
It's not. So sad. Well, they got one more episode left. Maybe there will be a T-Rex Titan. if they did that, that would just make my fucking year.
Hell yeah.
That would make the anime.
I know.
All
right, so show them your solos.
Wait, we did it. Does it fit?
Fuck yeah, it fits.
Fuck yeah,
it fucking
fits.
Linked Horizon, duh.
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 Even though Linked Horizon did season 3 opener.
Yeah.
I don't think that one fits.
No, I don't think it fits.
We're not talking about that.
No. We can get to that when
God
we get
damn,
there.
I'm getting way ahead of myself.
Yeah, you are.
I'm so pumped up.
It's hard because we...
This tease got me jittery.
Well, it's hard because we watched season 2. We just finished it today. And then we're also watching season 4. So not only did we see 2 episodes of season 4 on Sunday.
Yeah, we're bouncing all over the fucking
but
place.
Then we've like started watching season 2 after we finished season 4. And it's like, oh, man, I'm awfully confused.
we're going to skip right into, what was it, about 3 minutes in?
Mm-hmm.
So 3 minutes in, I'm going to play you just before it, because although the solo sections are about, I mean, for all the solos, it's probably about a minute long. I mean, the live version's 5 minutes and 40 seconds, but I'm going to show you a little bit before that, because in the middle of Shinzo wo Sasageyo, Linked Horizon throws in a throwback to the original season one opener, and they start singing it mid-song.
Yeah.
And then they switch right back. That's how they like come out of that song. They go right back to Shinzo wo Sasageyo and go right into the solos. Starts with that with a killer drum solo. So here's a little bit before that. I'll give you about 15 seconds or so. 20 seconds, fuck it.
Garrett.
20 seconds. We'll see. All right.
They even have those special effects,
see,
too.
Yeah, throwback. He threw it right back. The original. Oh, here comes the solos. Drum solo.
Fucking badass, too.
I love his last fill. It's just pointing to the crowd. This shit. This fucking bass solo. What? Two guitar solos from two different guitarists. Gotta hit them all. Keyboard solo. Good luck keeping up with that bass solo, though. Fuck, man. That was an earthquake of a bass solo. Oh, shit. Violins.
Like, why do your fingers move that fast?
How do they do that? That's not Shinzo wo Sasageyo. And the transition back is so cool. And they get the whole fucking audience to chant this bitch.
With their fucking wristbands.
All right, I'll stop. Oh my God. I'm like flowing with adrenaline right now.
I was going to say something else, but yeah, that's probably more appropriate.
I think I know what you're about to say. I'm not going to repeat it though. I'm ready to fuck shit up.
I bet.
I know what you're thinking. You dirty bitch.
I can't help it.
That song is fucking incredible. And the performers, whew.
I know.
That was hot.
I do love the fact, but I feel like I know the fact of why they brought back the first intro, because this was all on like essentially like a concept album. So yeah. They could do that. It just doesn't have, I mean, of course, like when you
I
go into like
a cool
do
live performance.
An intro. No, the live performance is perfect. They executed that quite well. And I'm pretty sure he was like, oh yeah, when we do this live, we're going to go fucking hard.
I mean, that's one of the, this is a huge band.
It's super huge.
There's
You've
like
got a whole
fucking
orchestra, like a symphonic orchestra. It is not just like violins and cellos and basses. It is horns and it's guitars and it's basses.
Oboes
and
bassoons and clarinets.
Yeah, it's like, it's everything. So they
backup
went all
singers.
Out.
You got people fucking with the they almost look like nunchucks, but they're just lights.
Yeah,
and it makes it look like the swords.
Yeah,
which is super cool too.
No, it's super interactive. It's kind of how we explained Linked Horizon in our last episode. They're very rock opera ish.
Oh,
like
yeah.
They go all out. They
and
put
that's
on
what
a
this
performance.
Anime needs.
And it does. It needs a rock opera. I mean, this whole fucking thing is a soap opera. So, I mean,
yeah, but be like political soap opera,
yeah.
Too. There's so much going on in this motherfucker.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. I think it fits if we already, haven't said
already. Know, we already know that it fits. So let's move on to outro three.
Yeah.
Or sorry. Yeah, it is outro three. No, it's not. Why'd you put number three?
Because it's technically the third outro of Attack on Titan.
Is it?
Yeah, because there's two intros and two outros in season one.
That's right. That's right.
Get your shit together, my friend.
I was like, wait, which ones are the other ones? But
it was
Giyu
Tsubasa or something like that.
Now
and
I remember.
And then the other one. All right. So outro number three.
Shut up.
Is Yuugure no Tore, which is translates to Twilight of Birds or Birds of Twilight. It is by Shinsei, and I practiced this, Kemata-chan.
Nice job.
Thank you. Yeah. I was like, two T's? That's not like English. It's pronounced with two T's. I thought about it. I sat here like a fucking idiot, like, Kemata-chan. Like a fucking...
Oh, you did practice it.
I did.
You straight up practiced it.
I did. Yeah. At my desk while I was reading.
It's honestly really important to practice it because I don't want to come across as like being indifferent because of my own accent or being something I'm familiar with. As our listeners probably already know, I would love to learn Japanese.
Yeah.
So I really don't want to like, although I'm moving quickly through our notes and sometimes I have to go, okay, I'm sorry, I fucked that up, but let's move on. I do know that we do our best to say and pronounce people's names like they were given to them. You know what I mean?
Well,
so,
it's
important too.
And this is a kind of a quick break from the outro real fast, but that was something that came up when here in America, I don't know if everybody across the seas have heard about it, but there was a big mass shooting with a bunch of massage parlors around Atlanta.
Specifically
Asian massage parlors. And so there's a very big movement right now about like stopping the Asian hate and Pacific Islanders and things like that. And there was an Instagram post that I saw that was very insightful. And it goes very much hand in hand about what we're talking about. And it's like, take the time to pronounce it right. And he was
specifically talking about your friends, like your friends and
no,
people,
it wasn't
people, you know,
it like, wasn't even friends that, you know, it was just if you see like start working on it. Now you see an XI, learn how to pronounce it. Cause he was speaking more on the Chinese language
from the Chinese side of it.
Right. So, I mean, like being able to like put yourself in somebody's position, nobody fucking likes their name being botched.
I mean, my last name is German and instead of, I mean, it's Horlocker. So also it's also funny. But people always think it's spelled with a W, of course, cause you know, whores. But also, it's got an L-A-C-H-E-R at the end,
Latcher.
Which is, yeah, Latcher. But nope, it's Locker. Very, very German last name. I don't think I'm German, though.
That's funny.
My dad was adopted, so
yeah.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But yeah, I wanna make that clear that we do try. And I've definitely been putting in extra effort to make sure that I say these names, at least trying to say them right.
Oh, for sure.
It is not my native language, and it will probably take me the full year of having this podcast to even remotely say these names.
Maybe even longer.
But I'm going to try my fucking best, and you can goddamn count on it as I like speak to my microphone with my eyes crossed here.
Speaking
to the audience very like aggressively. And
we
just
wanted
happened to be in my microphone
to talk about how important it was. I mean, there is a huge movement in the United States, huge anti-racism.
Well, I feel like, yeah.
It seems like it should be a no-brainer, but that's what we're experiencing right now in the United States between the Black Lives Matter movement earlier in 2020.
Well, I mean, technically.
That was about a year ago, I guess.
Yeah, that was a year ago.
Damn, I can't believe it's already been a year. But not only the Black Lives Matter movement, but now there was always, at least since coronavirus happened, people blamed Asian people.
Yep.
There was a total stigma against Asian people, which
is
completely fucking stupid.
It's so uncalled for. Like no certain culture, race, nationality caused any kind of sickness. I could totally understand a political thing like being like, oh, well, it's politics, but Fuck politics. It's a fucking politics. Virus. It's a pandemic that's affecting everybody. We need to point our hate
at the right people, which is the bats. Fucking bats.
Garrett read a whole fucking article about coronavirus.
These fucking flying rodents, these stupid ass bats. It's their fault.
We got a bunch of them here in Austin.
We live in a city of bats. Let's go fuck them up.
Yep.
Just kidding. You shouldn't do that. Bats are nice things to have around too.
All right. We wanted to do our part and bring awareness to it and make sure that everybody knows that we are working on it. We suck right now, but we are working on it. But we're going to get back to the outro because that's our job.
Yeah, so much for not talking your ear off. Yes. Hey, we're only 25 minutes in. That's not so bad.
See, we're not so bad. We're almost done with the outros. Like, we're good.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, we're good, guys.
On with it. Let's go.
All right. So this song was released in 2017 on their sixth studio album called Osana Wo Nyuin Sasate. Sasete. Sasete. Sasete.
See, she's doing her best.
I am. I'm trying really hard. Osanza Wo Nyuin Sasete, which means hospitalize my childness. This one peaked at number 40 on the Oricon, which I almost agree with.
You think number 40 was appropriate? You think it should be higher or lower? Why almost? Why do you almost agree with this?
Because I'm not a huge fan of the song. I'm more intrigued by the animation.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's fucking creepy. You'll listen to it in a minute. But let's get on to Shinsei Kamatichan. His band formed in 2007. They described themselves as an internet pop rock band. This is due to their blend of pop melodies and piano with dark lyrics and punk rock sensibilities found within their music and their long history of broadcasting their daily lives and live performances. So they're very much about like diving into their lives. So cool. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it makes it very intimate.
Yeah, so they are also featured on the final season of Attack on Titan. They did the intro. The
one that I covered?
The one that you covered.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then they also are featured in Ground Control to Psycho Electric Girl.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I think it's time to listen to it. We'll go over the lyrics. And I have some input on this once we listen to the song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have some input on this.
I have some input on this.
Now I'm curious, but we'll listen to it first. Here it comes. So creepy. It's a very simple song.
Yeah.
Super simple bass line. Basic acoustic groove.
Yeah.
What's your input?
So
I waited that whole time. Now give it to me.
Give it to me. So this, I'm even going to incorporate the song lyrics. We'll get two birds stoned at the same time here. So the song is about birds of twilight, and you can see it in the animation. It fits with the lyrics and with the animation in a way. So the first lyric is song in the birdcage. Should I sing if I sing? Sky look when tomorrow, blow today, blow today. You know, I know that this song is probably more for Ymir. She was like kind of more highlighted in this season.
She definitely was.
Yeah. And if you didn't know, Waifu Wednesday, that's who our waifu was this week.
I tried to find her last name. Turns out she doesn't,
have one, because she was named by that man who picked her up on the street and kind of exalted as the goddess.
That's right. That's right.
But my thing about this ending is that they included imagery of the year, I think it's 845. And in 845 was the year that Ymir Fritz died fighting for the king. And her three daughters, like, essentially cannibalized her and ate her and gained the power of the Titans. But that wasn't a part of season two.
Not at all.
So that imagery kind of seems out of place if they don't explain it. Like, you know, when you see an intro and an outro and you see animation, it's usually like clip-its and stuff.
Yes, yes, but sometimes it's foreshadowing.
Sure. Yeah, it can be foreshadowing, but I feel like that imagery should have been a little more applicable in the
reason. The reason why I think it would work is because a good chunk of season two, actually pretty much all of season two, they're like trying to figure out the truth behind like the religion
right, the
in
church.
The wall. And I think that this is like, these are the fucking paintings in the quote unquote Bible. You know what I mean? These are the fucking, the historic paintings, you know, the things that that the only the religion knows and the church knows, and they're not sharing it with anybody. Even Hanji, when she tried to drop that guy off the roof, was like, kill me now. Fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah, he wasn't going to talk. No, I get it. It just seems a little out of place to like have so much depth in your animation and have not yet explained it.
I think it makes people think.
Sure. Yeah, I could see that.
And now we know a lot more about like the history of this because of this animation.
Yeah, you're right. I just found it weird. I just found that it was
you thought it was almost too much information compared to like what we were given in the actual anime.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see that.
And it's like, it's almost like, you know, you watch that for 12 episodes, that same exact ending.
It's like they put the prequel in the outro.
Yeah. 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 And I'm not really sure how I feel about that. Yes, I'm very all for like foreshadowing and stuff, but you do that within the anime, not in the fucking animation with a song that really isn't like, it's like fucking creepy. Like now you're just seeing all
like
these
a children's
like
children's choir. Yeah. Singing.
And it's dark. Like they said in their description of why they're an internet pop rock band.
Well, why don't we decide whether or not the song fits minus the animation?
Okay. Go for it. Cause I have no fucking idea.
Man, I don't know either.
I have no fucking idea because the song itself, like, I know from the lyrics that it's about Ymir. You know, she's a bird in a cage. One of the last episodes is, like, her really deciding if being within the walls is better or if, like, being outside of the walls and going with Reiner and Bertholdt was a good idea. Like, she's very much caught. She's a bird in a fucking cage.
Yeah, and I guess if now I have to include the animation for this this decision here because
it's all important.
I mean it's the ending sequence. Just an outro song. So I guess if we're gonna include the animation, it's almost like when I grew up Catholic, we had a bunch of like children's hymns.
Right.
And we would learn about biblical stories and sing them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of what this gives off. This outro. It feels like like kids singing the story of
like Father
the religion.
Abraham.
I don't know that song.
You don't know Father Abraham had many sons and many sons was Father Abraham?
No, I kind of like shut off my Catholic brain long ago.
That was just a Christian song.
Oh, yeah.
Song.
See, no, Catholics aren't, although they're technically Christian. They don't have as many funds. I remember VeggieTales. That's about it. You know what I mean?
Oh, we watched VeggieTales too.
Where
is my hairbrush?
Oh God. But no, that's what I think. That's what I think about. Like this feels like a children's hymn, and they're singing the story of their
the
religion.
Biblical times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it fits. It fits.
It technically fits. Do I think the genre fits? No. Because no. This doesn't even sound like a dark punk or whatever the hell.
That's what I was thinking too when I read that. I was like, well, I'm not really getting that from this song, but
it's I get the simplicity of it, but when you have it's kind of like that juxtaposition of super rich score, super rich opener,
and then super simplistic,
unbelievably chill ending.
Yeah. Which is like, you know, everybody knows I'm all for the chill endings. I don't think that this really, Jujutsu Kaisen really hit home for me when it's like, that song is just like, that's a great.
The second one?
Yeah. That's a great ending to that anime. It's, you know, super intense, action packed. Attack on Titan, super intense, action packed. And then you get this song and it's like, weird.
I think because the Jujutsu Kaisen one's a lot prettier. This isn't that pretty of a song.
It's not pretty either. And I think that's what really does it for me is that it's not soothing me. It's not bringing me down. It's like, oh my God, that's fucking creepy.
It sounds like a goddamn children's hymn.
Right. And that's kind of where it's like, I don't want to think about bringing children into this, yo.
So technically it fits, but I'm not a fan.
No, I'm not a fan either. I would give it an average score of a C minus.
We need a new tone for like an app. No, we already have the meh. We have the meh and we have the cha-ching. So we need a new tone for like average.
I know. We can just record me going meh.
it needs to be like a little, I have no idea what it would be.
Yeah, I don't know what it'd be. It'd be like meh.
Like a ding dong? I don't know. Something that, maybe a fart noise? I don't know. Like a fart noise, but like with an upward inflection, so it sounds like a question fart.
I don't know, audience. What do you think we should do for the kind of mess?
Yeah, we need a new tone.
We need a tone for the average, like on the fence.
And if you can think about it by tomorrow when I edit this, that'd be great.
So they won't know, though.
Exactly. They're not going to hear this until it's already been edited. Never mind. We're not going to put anything. We're just going to skip right on by that one.
All right. So we're going to move on to the OST. We're not even going to do a review session today.
We don't need to.
Because it was season two. And it wasn't very long. And it was shorter. And it's just like a meh.
We'll give the brief, credentials.
Okay. So the soundtrack was released in 2017 by Pony Canyon. This OST has compositions heard in season two, of course, but it also includes the media in between seasons, like the compilation films, like the part one, part two movie that they did of the first season, the OVAs, things like that. It contains 33 tracks. Disc one has 16 tracks. Disc two has 17. We have almost the same vocalists that come in for the insert songs. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of new ones. So we've got Yosh, Jemmy, MPI, Mika Caldito. I love his voice, by the way. And then we've got Mika Kobayashi, and her voice is fucking astonishing. She hits those registers and keeps that vibrato going and like nobody's business.
Is that the one from OST1?
Yeah.
That I'm thinking about?
Yeah.
The one that we kept singing today?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Mika Kobayashi. And then Benjamin.
Benjamin. Just straight Benjamin.
That's it. He's also he's a lyricist, and he also writes the lyrics as well. So there's a lot of that he's written the lyrics for.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, so, I do want to point out, too, that before we get started in this OST, there are two songs? Three songs? Whatever. They're not on season two.
Right, which is kind of what I was saying. They're on the media in between and stuff like that.
Yeah. The OVAs and movies.
Yeah. So there's technically two, but on disc two, there's essentially the same song.
Oh, but
it's like a shorter version.
Okay.
A different version.
Okay. Well, let's jump right into our notes. There's a lot of notes for this one.
There's a lot of notes. And we actually had to break this one up because it was just a lot.
I did have to break this one up for two reasons. And actually, this is a good way to start this. First reason I had to stop. We listened to disc one all the way through. And we had to take a break after that because the link that is in the YouTube playlist, however it was uploaded to YouTube, is very, very compressed. So that means that like all of the sounds, especially high frequency sounds or the upper mid frequencies from vocals and things like that, vocals and cymbals, that'll give you a good place to put your ears. It's all very, very upfront and can sound harsh.
Yeah.
I told Emily as we were listening to it, like the meter on my audio interface was just flatlining at a volume. It was just, there was no...
It wasn't moving with the register.
There was no dynamics. Like when all of the sounds, when it was at peak volume, it was just flatlined at max volume, essentially. So, or max gain, max signal. So that can mess with the listening experience. So I would really highly recommend, if you have the money to buy it, buy the CDs, because these songs are amazing.
They are. And actually today when we were listening to disc two, we had nobody in the house with us at the time. So
we
were able to crank it on the speakers and it shook the fucking house.
Shook the house. I love these speakers.
Shook the house.
They're great, aren't they?
Shook it. It was fantastic experience to listen to. We were on the couch and I was like, oh my God, I'm shaking. I'm rumbling inside.
So we listened to disc one and took a break. And we listened to disc one in headphones.
Yeah.
Some studio headphones. And that's when I really noticed like all of the sounds that should technically be quiet or at least a little farther away are just right up front. They're right in your ears. It almost hurts at a certain volume. So keep that in mind. And I mean, when it's that loud, I just get really, really bad ear fatigue. And it makes taking notes and analyzing sound a lot harder. It's like, you know, when you're eating food and you're
eating, it's like the same way that I would probably relate to having like a casserole or something like that. When you have a bunch of things that are the same texture, it almost gets exhausting to eat the same thing in a large portion.
Yeah.
So you have
that's
to
a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I was even thinking of like if your palate's already dirty, you know, if you already took a bite of fucking, I don't know, a root beer float and then you went to have sushi, not a very good combination.
Right. You know, but like as a cook, you know, you want to offer different textures to keep it exciting, to keep your palate nice and excited and something like that. So I can almost, I can understand where Garrett's getting like fatigue from listening to it when it's like the same volume, you know, it's really harsh on your ears and things like that. Because when you're eating something that has the same consistency, your mouth just needs a break from that consistency.
Yes. And there's so much going on in this score. It is a complete change from Megalobox, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Megalobox stayed true to itself and its genre. This stays true to itself and its genre, but it also is super versatile.
So versatile.
In its phrasing and orchestration, arrangement. Everything in each song is versatile.
And that was one of my notes. I was like, talk about fucking versatility. And there's songs where you're like, oh, it's the same song. You can see how it's the same song, like especially on disc two, he very much like he names his songs like violin, piano, guitar.
It's that version of it.
It's that version of the song. And so he stays very true to how he's named the song. So you can see how it would be the same song, but you can see where it could be used to cover a variety of scenes and emotions and situations. So that's something that I love about Sawano is that he just really knows how to be super versatile in his compositions.
Oh yeah, he is an amazing pianist. First of all, some of the piano performances were just
mind blowing.
This is top caliber talent in this score. All the performers, everything. This is the definition. This is like what I dream of becoming, what I strive to be. This is that. So fucking good. It is incredible. And I love the sound palette that he has picked for Attack on Titan.
Yeah. And
the digital sounds, the synths, the pads, the digital percussion, that glitchy sort of sound. He even used percussion that sounded like, I don't know if any of you have ever had like a lot of static when you're changing your volume either in your car or on a speaker, and it sounds like really scratchy as you're moving the knob back and forth. He made a sound that sounds like that, a dirty volume pot.
Yeah.
And it's he used it as percussion. So cool. So I loved all the decisions he made. There was actually only one sound that I didn't like, and I got to really dig through my notes to find which one that was.
Because it's like essentially like 6 pages of notes.
Yeah, I had the tiniest little con. Like this would be a point one. It's a 9.9 for this OST. You know what I mean? Fuck. So I have at least, I've got definitely one song that I picked to play.
I know. Yeah.
I double circled that and starred it. There are a couple things that have some stars that I was like, okay, I would show pieces of this to kind of explain a sound or an instrument or a technique. Which one did you have circled, babe?
I had a lot circled, but one that I really want to highlight, and there are some that I like, I circled quite a few. I do this all the time. I suck so bad. But I really want to highlight Ape Titan.
You want to highlight Ape Titan?
I that was the one I had the most notes on. Like I was like there was just so much to talk about with that one because okay. You get that kind of jungle beat, like at the very beginning,
that tribal beat
at the beginning, and then it turns into something so much bigger than that.
It's the second track.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it's a long one. So
I liked UC Big Girl too. That was
good. No, that one's a pretty iconic one too. Is because that's one that you hear.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ape Titan. Here comes Ape Titan. Is there any time frame that you want me to skip to? Because we can't play the whole thing. It's about a 4-minute song.
It's a long song. You know, we can talk about just kind of like what it goes into, but I really want to start with the beginning.
Shit, it's like a 6-minute song.
Yeah, it's a long song. That's why I had a lot of notes on it.
Yeah.
But I really want to highlight the beginning because it is so different.
Oh, yeah.
And
the strings were so good.
The strings, they hit like the cellos and the basses hit real low. And then you've got that like Tarzan type shit going on with that tribal foresty stuff. And it really highlights, you know, Ape Titan clearly is about the Beast Titan. And
I think it really captures that
idea. It really does.
Of seeing the Beast Titan for the first time.
Yeah, and there's just a whole lot that goes on with it.
You didn't know a Titan like this existed, and now you're like,
holy shit.
It captures that feeling of no fucking way is that real.
Yeah, and the song is huge. It's humongous. And you've got the choral part. You've got the strings, the leading drums. You've got the dissonance. You've got syncopation. You've got the synthesizer.
Oh, and the
there.
Digital sounds that go to each speaker. They're panned side to side, and the delay bounces to each speaker. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's play this bitch. I imagine this would be the soundtrack to me seeing like a UFO, like a real one.
Yeah. Like a real one. Not that fake shit.
Not that fake shit.
Like those strings, man, they really like lay down that whole like
oh yeah, this, you know
they're
how scary
setting it up
Jaws
for,
was like at the time? This is like Jaws times 600.
Million. It's like you in the episode when you see the Beast Titan come out, it's like they're like, holy shit. Like all you can do is just watch and walk by the birds.
That sounded to me like a horse.
Oh, really?
Like a horse neighing. Because remember he grabs the horse?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he fucking shucks it 90, 100 miles an hour?
The song just hits on a different level.
And that white noise, like the swooshiness.
Yeah. And they, you know, and the song is not only so long, but there's so many different occasions that you could use this song for. You know, you've got that like synthesized, like electronic beat that he had there for a minute. And it's like, you can use that for a different scene. And then you can use this for like a, holy shit, he's massive.
Not only is he massive, but when he's like, when he's climbing the wall, you know,
yeah.
He's climbing that shit. And then he also, when he chucks the horse and you see, this is a really cool technique that Suano does. That when you see something thrown, or when it looks like the camera is on a drone and it's like being, it's moving and following in the air, you know?
Yeah.
And it like zooms over really fast following an object that just got thrown. I think that's probably good enough. Oh, this is the same song.
It is. And this is what I'm saying. And like, then you get a...
Hold on. Jeez. So I just didn't get to finish my thought before it changed. When the camera pans a specific way, he uses those, the whooshes and those drones and shit to like follow the camera as it's being, it's panning across, you know, from scene to scene. Sorry to cut you off. I just...
It's okay. Didn't want to lose that thought there. Whatever. But yeah, I think we can probably end it right there, because then it comes back around to a modified version of something we've heard in OST 1, which is something I fucking love about OST 2. And I think, and I was telling Garrett before we started the show that I loved the OST, but it wasn't my favorite. But the reason why is because a lot of these songs on OST have leitmotifs from OST 1, and that's, you know, and that's something beautiful, is that you can take a song that you've already made, and it's a beautiful song, and you can modify it, and it still sounds beautiful, and it's a new song. It's something completely different.
Yeah.
And he did that for a lot of these.
This score is unbelievable. I mean, the first one is awesome. This one's even, I think my favorite disc is probably disc 2.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of concerned, because I was like, man, this is a lot of, like, piano ad libs, and it's a lot of the Shingeki strings and Shingeki this, and it almost seemed like it was going to repeat. And then we started listening to it, and I was like, oh no, especially when you get to the last four tracks, and that first one really is like super humongous, and just like, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm like on a roller coaster.
But I did love how they started out with Ape Titan, essentially. I mean, there was one before that.
I thought
that was a great way to start the OST, too.
It was a great way, but I felt like that song, it's called Barricades, and I felt like it was kind of Imagine Dragons-ish.
So I have a little critique on that, too. I was like, it sounds like a really cinematic insert song, but the chanting stuff, it gets a little too much on the repetitive side. It got annoying for a second.
I kind of almost tuned it out for a minute, because I was like, I feel like I've heard this before. But it was still a good song. It just, it wasn't what I expected.
Yeah, it had some cool synth and bass tones.
Yeah.
It was a really simple chord progression that had a lot going on underneath. Like, very well arranged and orchestrated.
Yeah.
So, I think it was cool how they started it out. But disc 2 is definitely my favorite.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's something that I wanted to point out, too, is when, you know, talking about how there's a lot of modified versions of OST 1. And as you know, because you clearly listened to our first season of Attack on Titan with Preston, my favorite one was Eyewater. And I still very much stand by that. And I actually heard it as a lo-fi beat the other day on that playlist I was listening to while I was sewing Preston's vest.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... They use the motif of Eyewater a lot in this OST.
They definitely do.
They do. And I love that. I love that that's a recurring theme. But I wanted to kind of look at Call of Silence.
Okay.
Because before we started the show, I even put on Call of Silence because it has le motifs of Eyewater and of Call Your Name. It
combined those two songs.
It combined them. And so Call Your Name was essentially about like, how Eren felt about Mikasa, which, fuck Eren, man. but then they combined it with Eyewater, and you got Call of Silence, and it's this beautiful song that the lyrics are beautiful. And let me, who did that one? That was Jemmy. And Jemmy has a really pretty voice, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You heard it.
I mean, I don't remember which one particular Jimmy was. I mean, all the All the vocalists are
all the vocalists are incredible. Good. Mika Kobayashi is probably my favorite because she's the one who does all of those songs that just really get stuck in your head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that song. We were whistling that, singing it, humming it all day.
Yeah.
All fucking day. We even like yelled at each other, you have to stop singing
this. Can
you
please stop humming it?
Because I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we can move on to a song from disc two.
Okay.
I do have some notes for disc two as a whole. Not a whole lot, but I love his use of percussion. Mm-hmm. And in particular, not only were the drums recorded fucking perfectly, but the rhythm changes that he uses, that he wrote, like they can play ahead or behind and change on a dime. They can play right on top or just cut out altogether.
Yeah, completely.
With no real rhyme or reason to it, other than the only reason would be like the scene changed or an image changed or a feeling changed. The whole point is to just trigger your emotions. So he can do this slow halftime or like something that has a fill right before it lands on the one.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the groove of the percussion, is like the fill is repeated right before it lands on the one. And I thought that was incredible how he wrote some of these percussion parts.
Well, I really liked the percussion on The Weight of Lives.
Yeah, The Weight of Lives. That was one of them for sure. I think
and
it's
that was also another huge... Huh?
So I think it was probably what made me write
the note. Yeah, because it was like, you know, in the beginning I said you can feel the weight with the percussion at that high tempo. They like it's almost anxiety inducing, but in the best of ways.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I yeah, that was so good. I love the percussion, and I think we can even give a throwback to our Naruto episode when we talked about the Wadaiko drums. Because
mm-hmm.
I am almost positive he used Wadaiko drums. If he didn't, I don't know what kind of drums they were other than crazy sounding timpanis. But I'm pretty sure they were Wadaiko. They don't sound like resonating enough to be timpanis, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I did love the song Two Lives from the track. I love the song right after that, Shingeki Strings.
Oh, yeah.
The string version.
And that had that organ in there, too.
Yeah.
That was so pretty.
Oh, and his use of modes. Like, he went from, like, super dark and sad to a really happy major chord mm-hmm. for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Totally out of place. It was really cool. I love the drums on that song, too.
And that was another one that was, like, he split up the track. And it was, like, it was this beautiful orchestra. And just when you thought it was the end of the song, he took it to a whole different level.
Yeah.
Took it to a whole different level.
The song that I'm going to pick from this one is also track two from disc two.
Aaron, Mikasa, and Armin.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, EMA.
EMA, Imnium, Imnium?
I don't know what that stands for. Imnium? I've been trying to look for it, and yeah. I can't find it on any of the sites. Because that's not the first time that word comes up.
Yeah, it was used something on mm-hmm. something else too. This one hits hard right out the fucking gate to grab your attention.
Yeah, it's like an anthem too.
Oh yeah, but it also drops out and then lets the percussion build.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly adds strings again and then
and horns.
Other harmonic pieces, and then slams you again with horns and guitar, mm-hmm. and then skirt. Wait, I even wrote the word skirt in there. Why did I do that? Wait, there's another rhythm/ tempo change. Maybe this is what made me write the note, and I was like, circle, double circle, triple fucking star that bitch. There's another rhythm or tempo change with a cool transition into a huge chorus. I put that in air quotes. It's not really a chorus, but it sounds like it could be. And then wait, it drops into just a tribal-like percussion.
Yeah.
This has so much versatility in this piece alone. And it's just a few minutes of just a roller coaster of fucking emotions. And then it goes into this like epic string, like chugging section with that pirate sounding, the mm-hmm. plucks, you know what I mean? I think that's a harpsichord too. It's very plucky.
Yeah,
I always attribute it to fucking pirates. It makes me think of pirates every time I hear it. Fun fact. My uncle is like one of the biggest harpsichord builders in the world.
Hell yeah, look at you.
I don't think I've ever told you that.
You haven't.
His workshop is is unbelievable. And I remember he tried to get me into building them because he is coming up on 80 soon.
Oh.
And
he was like, take over the family business.
Well, he's got like an 800 long, over 1,000, maybe even 1,800 at this point. This was years ago when he asked me to do this. And his waiting list is just too long. He's going to die before he finishes his harpsichords.
Holy shitballs.
It's way too long. It's like it takes 8 months to build one of these motherfuckers. Yeah. He's also a 7th degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, uncle. Ready to meet you.
Fun fucking fact. but yeah, those pirate sounding harpsichord. I'm pretty sure it's a harpsichord. There's no way it's not. And then the sub drop into that cinematic rock song.
Oh, my God. That was so epic.
And then it cuts you off with an abrupt ending.
Yeah.
So let's.
But then it goes to that. Oh, we'll get to that. Let's listen to it.
Sure,
let's
sure. I wanted to go through all my notes so I didn't talk over it. I feel like I should start doing that now. Here it is. EMA Imnium. whatever that word is. Oh, when you blast this song too?
Yeah.
Ooh.
The strings are what make me say it's an anthem.
Yeah. Well, and you were talking about the sub that shook the house, that hit. That was this song.
Oh, yeah. It was this song.
It was this song.
Yeah. Because the piano, the first song is the piano forte medley.
Yep.
And it was just piano. It was a solo piano piece.
That tribal beat again.
Jamming it.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm gonna turn this up on our headphones. And that sounds pretty anthemic.
Yeah, that's a beautiful string part to have as like a thematic.
That's a motif. Which one is that?
I can tell you. Give me a second.
That's a vocal line from another song.
Yeah. So it uses the Yamanayame. And then the second part is the EMA song from OST1.
Okay.
Total tempo change.
Drastic change. Pirate plucks. That's not a harpsichord, though. Or it's just, they just fucked up the sound of it, like, on purpose, like, through an effect.
Maybe.
Plug-in.
They could have.
Another change. And I can already see on the meter, like, this is what I was talking about, the dynamics are just flatlined.
Yeah.
Like, and you can see it's just the waveform looks like a fucking
square. I know, it's
square.
Just a block.
So simply too. They're used like drums. Mm-hmm. There's the pirate sound again. What the fuck instrument is that?
I don't know, because it doesn't
a second, it sounds like a harpsichord, but then it doesn't.
Because the... So they have like who does the strings, and we already talked about the Koichiro Miroa strings, and then they have like individual horn players. There's a bunch of horn players. Specifically, there's like a couple of trumpet
there you go.
Players, trombone, drums, guitars, guitar and cello, and then every other instrument besides piano and keyboard are all of them are done by Sawano. He does every other instrument except like the main instruments. Like he's on.
You're a god, Sawano.
Fucking master.
There are no non-believers.
And that's why he was super prestigious at Legendore.
Oh, that bass drop.
The strings and horns right here fucking make this part. I love that combination. Each playing their own melody, too.
And I love the way it's panned, too. You can hear the strings specifically out of the left side of your ears.
And then everything else.
But there are strings over on the right side, too.
Yeah, but that's the like the second violin parts. This is the first violin on the left, and then the right is just like the second violin part. It's essentially the harmonic.
Oh, sick. Can you believe this is all one song?
It's crazy.
What the fuck?
It's crazy. And that should
be
the end of
the
song.
That's the abrupt ending.
Now,
I was talking about.
So then what I was going to talk about is that track number three, the second one, which is the Shingeki Pianoforte,
uh-huh.
Totally thought that that was not, that wasn't labeled correctly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the one that starts off as like kind of like a rock song.
Well, see, we thought that Pianoforte meant just physically the piano.
No, it does mean the piano.
I know, but maybe in this instance it meant.
Well, no, because remember the piano came in a little bit later, and that's really the highlight of the entire song is the piano
that's
melody
true.
On
that's
that.
That's true. So maybe it meant both.
Maybe
that's
it
what
did.
Pianoforte really means. Really, I mean, yeah. The piano is called a pianoforte.
I mean, but if you're gonna call it pianoforte, like usually they'll go with like pianissimo or something like that.
Sure.
It's not so often that you use pianoforte as a dynamic.
Yeah, but with Sawano's naming,
it could be
you're ambiguous. Right. It could totally be ambiguous.
But I love that track because the piano really does come in and take the spotlight, and it has such an ominous and like it's super hard hitting, and it covers like stress and anxiety, but also impending doom and fear.
Oh, all of it.
Like that song was great. So I totally thought that it was like named completely wrong. And then you hear that piano and it's like you're almost across the keys. So you've got really low and then he's playing those like,
really high,
really high notes that almost
you
typically wouldn't normally use on a piano because it doesn't really resonate that well, but he incorporates it so well into it.
Man, that's, this whole score is just impressive as fuck. I mean, I don't know how you get much better than that. This is a score that was the production was thought all the way through. The one thing that they didn't do, although in my opinion it's better music, it wasn't in an order that made sense to me.
Okay.
And even listening or rewatching season two. I don't know that it would have made sense with the flow of season two as well. Maybe it did, because there are some things that sound a little similar,
mm-hmm.
Or they're just hard to tell at such a low volume. But the way My Hero Academia did that OST, start to finish, you know exactly how the story goes. It's almost like rewatching the anime and listening to that OST. But the music is just jaw-dropping in this OST. So by far my favorite composer in anime.
No, absolutely.
By far.
And he's earned it. He's done so much.
So much.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep, which is why I liked the OST for Seven Deadly Sins so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I want to go back and watch Seven Deadly Sins, but
No, it's too soon. We got too much other anime to watch.
I know, I know. I know, but now I want to go back and really Like listen in. Again. Yeah. Listen to the score.
Yep.
But was it Dragon's Judgment coming out this year?
That's coming out soon. New My Hero Academia is coming out soon.
And, next week, right?
3 days.
3 days. It's this week.
It's this week.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think this is the perfect time to bring them out, unless you have any other fun facts. You do have some fun facts.
I do.
So let's bring them out because we kept it under our time frame. We fucking did it.
We did it, guys. You should be proud of us because we always go into it thinking, okay, we're not gonna take forever. This is gonna be a short one. We don't have much to talk about, and then we always end up talking your fucking ear off. So this is like a proud moment for us.
Ramble, you know, a lot. So, and I know that although we miss Preston, we totally would have rambled with
him. Oh, yeah. No, I was almost expecting us to have a long night.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like 2 hours at least.
Yeah.
At least. Well, we miss you on this one, Preston. Hopefully you're listening to this or at least getting some. Hopefully you read the notes on our shit. We can even send you our notes for the actual OST that we wrote mostly today. Send you those, too, and see what you think about this whole OST. We would love to get with you on over the weekend or something sometime soon when you got some free time. We'll just do it real simple. And instead of breaking out the fucking production equipment, we'll just hop on Instagram Live.
Hell yeah.
So, Emily, you want to take, or actually, I guess tell them where it's streaming.
In the same places it was streaming last episode.
We got a lot of the stuff from, at least on YouTube, from Funimation. And then
Hulu, Crunchyroll.
We watched it on Hulu and Crunchyroll. And Crunchyroll, way to go with that new...
The new beta
platform. That's... So you're on the right track. You're on the right track. There's
Garrett's like, ooh.
I would send you my feedback. There's only one thing I noticed right off the bat, which was you don't have the crown on like new episodes anymore.
Yeah.
And you start from episode one instead of starting from where we left off.
Yeah. It's a beta, though, so...
It's beta.
Yeah.
That's why I'm giving my feedback right now.
I got you.
Totally plenty of room to give feedback for since you are beta testing this platform. You don't have to start it from episode one. Actually, I would start it from the most recent episode anyway, and then I can scroll down to whatever episode I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Food for thought.
Well, let's
I'm sorry, what?
Fuck. Is it when we record late that I just have a hard time with words?
No, you're just...
Your correct answer should have been, yes, Emily.
You almost said incorrect. You didn't even say correct, right?
I know.
Get your words together.
Fun facts.
Fun facts. That's right.
I suck so bad. All right. Fun facts. So, Jean is Isayama's favorite character. Do you know why?
Why?
Because of his honesty.
Aw.
Aw. So sweet.
I like Gene too.
He is pretty honest. All right.
Any other fun facts?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you know that Hanji's gender is ambiguous?
Really?
Yeah. So Isayama never revealed their gender in the manga. And even to Kodansha, the people who did the English translation production, he told them not to specify their gender even in the subtitles.
Is it Kodansha or Kodansha?
You're right. It's Kodansha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get your words right.
Man, I didn't even read it. I was just like, oh, yeah, I know this word. I don't have to read it. I don't know that word.
Go ahead.
It allows for the fans the freedom to decide.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense how it's ambiguous because I feel like she's more attracted to Titans than humans anyway.
And they don't have gender anyways. So.
Titans don't really have any genitalia.
So. At least that we've seen.
I mean, they had like... Some of them have like the shape of boobs.
Yeah.
But that's like as far as the genitalia goes. And it's not, there's no nipples. Have you seen a Titan with nipples yet? Yeah, nope.
No. All right. Let's stop sexualizing these Titans.
I mean, you want to hear a fun fact about nipples?
Sure. Give it to me.
Yeah. Here's a fun fact about nipples. Most species that have nipples have twice the amount of nipples as their typical litter.
Mm-hmm.
Bet you didn't know that. Or you might have.
I did know that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I feel sorry for you moms with like...
Quadruplets.
I mean, I feel sorry for you with twins. That sucks. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. One baby is hard enough. I can't imagine two at the same
fucking
time.
Fucking two at the same time, but quadruplets?
Yeah. There's no possible way that we can be born with any more than what we have.
No.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that some people probably might have like a gene that produces like a
I'm sure there's some third nipple.
Yeah.
Some third nipple people.
Lucky them for if they ever have like twins or something. You drain one boob and be like, all right, get on this other boob. Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys.
All right. Fun facts are over. Let's take them out.
We have finished our second season of Attack on Titan. I don't know how to talk tonight, guys. Stop me.
Just go like this.
I don't need vocal training. I just need my brain to be
That's
right.
That's vocal training. You got to do how now, brown cow.
Probably wouldn't even get that right now. Guys, we love you. And whether you're taking us with you for the ride or you're chilling at home with your own goddamn BBC, we're always thrilled to be sharing our love of music and anime and sound effects with you all the time.
Yes. And if you could do one thing for us, please head on over to our Instagram page. It is at Anime Noise Podcast. It's really becoming like a community. We're growing all the time. We're making even more friends the bigger we get. We respond to absolutely everyone, as long as you're not an asshole.
Please don't be an asshole. We won't respond.
Most of the people that we've met aren't assholes.
No.
There have been like two or three assholes. But that's a bearable amount, I feel like. It's easy to ignore two or three assholes.
Yeah. It's better than the assholes I get on my page.
We know that you're probably not. Oh, yeah, that's true. We know that you're not an asshole. So please come on over to our anime family. It's really a family. Share your music. If you're a musician, share your art. If you're an artist, we are actually in the market for some artists. So if you'd like to help us create some merchandise, we'd love to pay you. Just share ideas about anime and get to know us. Let us get to know you. We're really excited that this community is growing so quickly. So,
We love seeing the same names pop up. And
all the time.
We love the engagement. You give our job purpose.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously, we're not just saying that. It's really heartwarming to see all those people.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time putting out episodes and stuff, and I don't think people realize that we take a lot of pride in our Instagram as well, because that's how we really get to connect with you. You know, we can put out an episode and, you know, either a ton of people could listen to it or none at all. But we have our Instagram, and that's really where we like our pride is, you know, getting to chat with you guys and getting your opinions and talking about the shit that we love to talk about, not just about our episode. But if you listen to our episodes and you're like, hey, like, I totally agree with you, or you're fucking stupid, we'll still listen to you. You
also,
know, we take opinions.
Also, we do our best to like write satire into our typing. It's hard to read tone of voice, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So most of the time, if we're fucking with you,
it's
we're fucking
a joke.
With you.
It's
we don't mean it. Like, it is just a joke. And we do our best to like load that bitch with emojis. So so you know. But and thank you to everybody that has been like our regular on our Instagram. I can name off a few, you know. Nightmare Supreme, Jar Jar Banks, fucking Gabriel, I forget.
Colon.
Is it Colon?
Mm-hmm.
Corey Topside, all you guys. There's so many. There's too many to name.
There's
right
a
now.
Lot. There's a lot of people that we talked to on a
this was just
at
like
least
this
a,
week.
Yeah, and know? And we appreciate it, and we love
so
having
thank
you
guys.
And
thank you for sticking around. And thank you for welcoming all of the new people that come on board too. So please head on over to our Instagram. We have a TikTok too at the same name, at Anime Noise Podcast, all one word. We're working on that one. That needs a little work.
Emily feels really old when it comes to TikTok.
Shit, man. You're telling me. And it's not the simplest video editing software in the world.
And it's really annoying
it
to
is
watch
simple.
The same.
It's too simple.
It's really annoying watching the same video over and over and being like, fuck, I missed where to put this. So if you have any tips on TikTok, happy to listen.
And now we've rambled too long, so we went over our time.
Oh, balls.
Yep.
Okay, guys, we just love you so much, and we hope you have a fantastic weekend, and we will see you again on another episode of
Anime Noise
next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.
This has been a Beanbag Chair Media production.